This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Good morning, good evening, or good night. Not sure where you're at, but don't go anywhere if I said good night. We are actually good morning in the beautiful country of Australia, Sydney, Australia. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Hey, thanks for joining us. Listen, do me one favor before we start the show. Go to Peter Caliendo on YouTube. All we ask is free. Subscribe, you know, that button, boom, hit that button, and you're subscribed. You'll get all the updates to the shows. We got 90 plus shows already on YouTube. Plus, the audio goes on our podcast, which we've been doing for 3 years. So you can go to the audio at baseballoutsidethebox.com. So please do that for us. If you really love the show, then share it with everybody, you know, whether it's players, coaches, or parents in the U.S. and around the world. We want to welcome everybody, and thank you, folks, for joining us on Facebook. Today, we've got another great show, and the second one from Down Under, this time Sydney, Australia. And we are excited because, first of all, I got to tell you, baseball in Australia, I've known it for a long time, not a big population, incredible development, great coaches programs, great development programs. They got 48 guys. If I might have missed it by one or two in the big leagues. We talked a little bit about that with Graham Lloyd on the show. And I got to tell you, they compete with the best of best in the world. So international competition. A leader when it comes, for my point, when it comes to leading coaches, especially Australia, Canada, they do a great job. Love them both. And we're looking forward to this. And I'll tell you why, because these guys signed Manny Ramirez. I believe it was 9 days ago. Yes, two-time World Series champion. You're talking about 555 home runs, 15th on the all-time list. Not sure how they pulled this one off, but I do know Manny loves the game. So obviously that's why he's doing. He's got great passion for the game. Let me introduce you. First of all, let's say welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, the CEO and owner of the Sydney Blue Sox. By the way, Manny Ramirez, Red Sox, White Sox, now the Blue Sox. Let me welcome the owner, Adam Dobb. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Good morning, Peter. I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for the invite, and happy to be on the call and live stream, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, you know what? Thanks for joining us. I know you guys are busy. I believe the season begins, am I wrong, December 18th, opening day for you guys?
Yeah, December 18th, it seems like it's a couple of months away, but it goes around really quick this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the man, unfortunately, because I've been in that boat one, not probably not as long as he has, but, you know, the man with all the pressure, the man on the field, but he's also the general manager. So, you know, they work closely with the owners and Adam. And when they're looking at players making trades, you know how that works, folks. He's the manager on the field, Shane Barclay. What's up, Shane?
Hey, how you doing, Pete? Thanks for the invite, mate. Hello, Chicago. Hey. Hello, world. How are you?
Hey, I love that, mate. I got to remember to say that, you know, if we're going to do this show together. But, hey, listen, guys, I know, again, your time's valuable. I really appreciate it. Love to start. Let's do this. This would be interesting. Let's go, Adam, just a little background in yourself, you know, how you got into the game. We'll do the same thing with Shane, and then we'll rock and roll, get into the details of the show.
Yeah, Pete, look, I'm 42 years of age.
Oh, man, you're a pup.
I'm the oldest 42-year-old you know, mate.
Yeah.
15, 20 years of playing the game, loved it, competed against Shane for 10 or 15 of those years, had a great relationship off the field and a healthy competitive one on the field. Then a young family comes about and my eldest starts to get involved in baseball. I decide to go back to coaching. Coaching then turns into following the Australian Baseball League. The Australian Baseball League then offers private ownership, and I was in a position with my current business model to do that. And this is my third season. We did this to try and make change in the game in this country. For 2 years, I think we may have treaded water a little. Year three, I think we've made a big splash. So we're excited. That's a little bit of an overview on me and how I got to this point, yeah.
Yeah, what I love about it, 42 years old, you coach, you played, you're now in the front office, you know, at a big responsibility. It's kind of neat because baseball, you know, when you got the baseball background and business background, that really matches well, in my opinion. I know when I was in independent ball, some of the very good owners were the ones who had both of those aspects understood it all, right?
Couldn't agree more, mate. And don't get me wrong, I've had a successful business career, but in the last 2 years of ownership, I've made more mistakes than most. I've come to terms with the fact that coming into year three, I probably treated this a little bit more of a passion and a love and a hobby than the true business that deserves to be run. Shane's been very instrumental in turning that back into, we'll still always have the love of the game, but get back to doing what you do day to day in business. And make this a business, make business decisions, take the emotion out of some, but still love the game, love being around the team, love being around the guys. So we had a big catch cry here a few months ago, change is coming. A lot of people don't know what change is coming means. And I guess for us, we didn't know what it looked like, but we knew that change was about to happen. And that comes from the top all the way down. So we're excited by a few things. There's some major announcements still to come in the next 2 weeks off the field, which is exciting for our organisation. And mate, the Manny thing is, I knew it would create some headlines. So I probably didn't think it would get the coverage that it has gotten for our game. And I'm a Red Sox fan. I know how big this name is. I just didn't think the world would appreciate the significance of it.
Absolutely. And I want to get, that's the first thing we're going to get right into. But before we do, Shane, man, I believe you're up against opening day, the defending champs, the Melbourne Aces, correct?
Yeah, we are. And I guess they're probably the New York Yankees of our league at the moment. They sort of have the budget that many clubs don't have. Hadelman Young out there last year, had a number of other Shane Robinson, a few other guys who are just sensational players, a really good ball club, and I guess we'll expect them to be just as strong this year.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit of your background just before we begin and get into details about how you got started in baseball.
As a 12-year-old, I played cricket, and baseball was played in winter in my town. Someone talked me into having a game, and the first pitch, I still remember the first pitch I received bounced about a foot in front of the plate, and I straight drove it over centre field. I didn't know that it had to be on the full, and I fell in love with it. Was an average player, not bad in Australia, but an average player overall, and learned at a young age that I wasn't going to be as good as I hoped I'd be, so turned to coaching and managed in the old ABL, which was played in the mid-90s to the early 2000s. And then I coached the state team when the National League fell over. Did some junior Australian teams. And then I've been out of it for about 7 or 8 years. Adam tried to talk me into getting back into it last year, and I sort of rejected him. But my daughter sort of punched me around a little bit to tell me that I had to go back and do it. And we learned a lot last year. I'm so excited to do it, and we're starting to get it right. And we're gonna get it right. We'll have some good players who are good human beings. We're building a great club, and it's just really exciting times. And yeah, the Manny thing's been amazing for us, and hopefully he can contribute a bit still on the park. But what he's brought to the club already is just amazing.
Yeah, and I want to jump into that. And, you know, the passion you guys have for the game, it's always great to see people who love baseball and do it for the reason they love, and they're getting to do it for a living also. I think that's fantastic. Hey, Adam, let's just get right to the point. Manny Ramirez, because the biggest question is going to be, you know, how did you get him? And, you know, everybody, Manny Ramirez, I think he's going to help not only on the field, obviously, because he can still swing the bat, but also with your coaches and your players. I think he's going to be a great addition to some wealth, some knowledge, you know, behind the scenes.
Couldn't agree more. So two parts to that. The first one, how'd we get him? About 5 or 6 weeks ago now, the Auckland Tuatara, which is one of the teams in our competition, announced on social media, went through a few of the US publications as well, that Manny'd signed with Auckland. As a Red Sox fan, I was excited. I get to watch Manny play in our league. Kind of reserved to the fact that he must have signed and we move on with life. Wake up one morning to an email to the organisation from his agent seeing if we're interested in Manny. Wow, all right, I better run with this. So we respond, not sure whether it's the Manny Ramirez. There might be a young guy out of the DR that's just been named it. So we did a bit of research and fair enough, we have Zoom calls and we go back and forth and there's a lot of healthy negotiation and Manny's big interest was a big city and a reputable club and wanted to learn about the personalities. So they did a little bit of background on Shane and myself and fortunately after 4 weeks, he signs the dotted line. One of the funny things that I remember out of the whole process was on the last day, the contact from his agent reaches out to me and says, Manny wants a change to the contract. My first thought was, oh, here we go. What now? But what it was he wanted a clause in the contract that he couldn't be traded to any other club in the ABL. So I thought about it long and hard for about half a second and added the detail to the contract and returned it over. I mean, I get the league and major leagues that he grew up with, that the teams have the ability to do that without knowledge. What Manny brings, which then leads me into your second question, what Manny brings to this organisation? There isn't a thought anywhere in my conscious or subconscious mind to trade Manny Ramirez. So what does he bring to us? If he ticks any of these boxes, it's a success. In 2017, the numbers he puts up in Japan would have been second in our league last year in the ABL. The guy still hits every day. He self-confessed that he needs to get a little bit of fitness in with running. Understand from his players back in the day, he's one of the smartest hitters to ever play the game. He's got the love, the passion, the flair, the fan engagement that ticks all of these boxes that we want. He's got numbers that we know are Hall of Fame numbers. He's got on-field and off-field incidents that have happened that may prevent that. But as the owner, I don't need to sign a choir boy. I'm looking for the Manny Ramirez. And mate, he wants to do youth hitting programs. He's happy to do corporate events. He will be instructional to our younger generation and even the older guys. I'll go back and learn to hit at 42 if Manny's there. He just is such a presence that Australian baseball needs this. One of the big things I've seen this week, we can talk about the ESPN documents or CBS Sports documents, or it's all over Yahoo and you can Google it and it's flooded with Manny Ramirez coming to Sydney. So that's great. But in Australia, on social media, the amount of people that are commenting on our post or the Australian Baseball League posts, I've never heard of these people's names. It's just created so much noise and attention that people can't wait to come out. The negative at the moment, but we've still got a couple of months, is Australia's been very tight on its COVID management. Restrictions of people in outdoor stadiums, et cetera, et cetera. So if this was a non-COVID year, we'd be busting at the seams at our stadium with attendance. This year it may be restricted, but we'll manage that the best we can, and we can't wait to get him out.
Absolutely. Well said. And folks, Sydney, Australia, talk about a beautiful city. I was there in 1999 with the Intercontinental Cup Team USA. That was just a beautiful, beautiful city. So I can see why he wants to play there. You know, the other thing, Adam, you know, like you said, the business side, you know, because obviously it's not only gaining attention for your team, and yet if it wasn't COVID, you'd be selling out tickets a lot earlier. But also the league itself, the excitement within the league that does, again, give them, you know, international experience when it comes to MLB Network. Also, it's been on there several times and it's going to continue to be on there. But the question that's going to come up, that came up also, I think, on MLB or one of the channels was, you know, how serious is Manny and why is he doing this? I think he's doing it because he loves baseball. But I don't know. You may know, have a better idea.
Yeah, we've had a couple of radio interviews here and I'm running with the same line. I've spoken to Manny enough and spoken to his agent enough. My best response there is, when you have a brand and a reputation of Manny Ramirez, he's not going to come here and embarrass himself. He's not going to not prepare. They tell me he was pre-game and midweek was one of the hardest working hitters in the game. I truly believe he's not here for a holiday. And, yeah, look, he's 48. His reflexes and natural body is not going to be that of 2004-07, Manu. I get that. But this guy is not going to come out here and take up a spot in a hidden lineup if he's not still mentally able to compete. And he hits every day. And that's where he'll fit into the DH role if that's where Shane decides to put him. But, mate, I get it. We don't have 2004 Manny, but this guy has still got all the makings to be potentially dangerous. Some of our ballparks in this country are very small. Ours is quite large. But watch this space, I guess. I'm excited to see what he can do and looking forward to his first BP, looking forward to every BP with him. But, yeah, just can't wait.
Yeah, and I think it'll bring, like I said, international attention and, you know, something that I know you guys get international players. We're going to jump into that. But one of the things I was going to mention was, hey, Mike Tyson's coming back at 50, and he looks unbelievable. So these guys can do it. They're great athletes. I don't think he's going to have a problem. He's going to do real well in your league. Shane, now you got to deal with Manny Ramirez, who, you know, is a possible Hall of Famer. Well, not possible, will be a Hall of Famer. You know, I don't know how many Hall of Famers you've had play for you, but, you know, how are you going to handle that right away, you know, to set your, I guess, you know, your relationship with Manny? You know, it's not an easy thing. I know a lot, even myself, if I get a guy who's got, you know, that kind of stature, sometimes you can be, you know, honestly being a little bit intimidated, but you don't look like the intimidating guy.
No, look, I guess from my point of view, that's a good question. I don't see it that way. I think the Zoom calls we've had have sort of, you feel comfortable around him. We've actually, and probably further to what Adam just said, about it, my thing is I'm a pretty hard competitor and I want to win. He's a nice, relaxed sort of guy. So it's probably, we'll complement our club in that way. We've been negotiating with a AAA guy from Detroit, lives just over the border towards Toronto. And he's been down in Miami recently hitting, and a small baseball world, we're talking to him last week. And he said, oh, I've just come back. I've been hitting down there. He said, I've actually was hitting with Manny Ramirez. That's a great signing. And I've been talking to him. And it was actually me who said, hey, you thought about going to Australia because he's still hitting with a hitting instructor down in Miami. And I thought, oh, you're probably just having a lend of me here. And then he mentioned the viewing the messages that were going through between Auckland and Manny. And so it was obviously legit that he was there. And then from that, I guess from that point forward, you're sort of going, well, how was Manny? You know, and he goes, well, I can tell you, this guy wants to play. He just loves the game and he doesn't want to let it go. So any doubts I had in my mind have just been alleviated there. And yeah, look, we're going to have a job in managing that. I mean, on the park, we're going to make sure we're focused on winning ball games and it doesn't become too much of a Manny circus, because we're not there to run second, and we're not intending to run second in this league. But Manny's been around for so long. He's so professional and he gives you that comfort that I know he'll adapt to that. And I know he's going to expect that probably more than I am, that's going to be the thing. And I would expect he's going to focus on the game and want to win.
Absolutely. You know, and he was in Chicago. You know, you talk about energy. This guy's got a lot of energy, you know. And the Latin players play with that flair. You love it because they're so exciting. It doesn't matter what age they are and how big they are, or if they just started playing the game, they play with so much passion. Hey, before I want to get into the ABL especially because, but before we do, Shane, one more thing on the team. Obviously, you're excited about Manny, but tell us what, you know, about the club and what you're excited about in general about the club, you know, your positives that are going into opening day.
Look, I think that we just have a different feel this year. You know, without going too much into it, it was probably a learning curve for me. Yes, last year it was a learning curve from everyone. I know from Australian point of view, we've had three or four get-togethers so far, and you can just feel a different club. And this was before Manny was mentioned. So it's not a Manny factor. We have a different club. You just get the feeling when you're around a club that you all of a sudden you've got a club that arrived, you've coached. You go, this club is now here. So the Australian component of that is now here. We can't control what quality of ball player we get from overseas, but this year we have done it really, really well. While we haven't signed a great deal yet, we have. I know we're going to come through there. We might even have an affiliation coming up with a bit of luck. So we'll have a lot of things there. The people I've spoken to, the main people I want to speak to already, you can tell in a 5-minute chat to people where they lie. The quality out here this year is just going to be way higher than it has been. I mean, I could pick from 5 AAA outfielders right now because no baseball over there. Everyone wants at bats. So the import level is just going to exponentially increase this year, being the COVID year. So of all the downsides of COVID, there's an upside for the quality of ball that's going to be here. And I know in my heart that the people we're talking to right now are quality human beings, as well as being fierce, determined competitors. And we're going to have a great ball club. I just know it.
All right. Looking forward to it. And Adam, interesting enough, I'm thinking, I want people to really understand the ABL because I'm just going to throw this out. It could actually be not the Australian Baseball League, but it could actually be called the Australian Pro League, because not only do you have a lot of big league guys, minor league guys, but even if they're amateurs, if they're first time, they're that level that, professional baseball. Tell us a little bit about the league, because I know it went through some ups and downs, financially, I believe, a long time ago, and it's how it's getting going, and what's special about the league?
Yeah, good question. We could talk about this for an hour, but in short, the league over, let's say, 30 years has experienced ups and downs. It's experienced financial woes. It's experienced great highs with players. Business-wise, Australia and the game of baseball do not attract huge corporate dollars because it's not one of our main tier sports. Mm-hmm. If cricket was in America, would cricket attract corporate dollars? It's kind of that analogy. So it's been difficult financially. Teams have always wanted to compete and win because that's our nature. So we pay for quality players and it just affects the bottom line. The league itself, and it's a great question what you said, we've had big leaguers play here. We have Australians in our roster that have never signed, ever, anywhere in the world. So it's a hybrid of semi-pro, which makes it exciting. College guys come out here, single A, rookie ball affiliates come out here, triple A guys come out here. Didi Gregorius did his time here 5, 6, 7 years ago down in Canberra. Reece Hoskins was in Sydney 5 years ago. Acuna Jr. was in Melbourne 2 or 3 years ago. All three of those last names were playing in Australia before they went on to bigger and better things in the So it's a proven model. We had Andy Burns last year who has had a couple of games with Toronto and the Bigs. Probably was unlucky to miss out on a starting roster this year. Quality human, quality baseballer. Gifting Gopay was with us last year, played in the Bigs with Pittsburgh Pirates. First ever South African native to play in the Bigs. There's Delman Young's in Melbourne. Donald Lutz is in Brisbane. There is some big, big names here. You got Mikey Reynolds playing in the league. Look, there's just names that US baseball followers would be very familiar with. Mm-hmm. And, now we've added Manny and the world can know about it.
Absolutely. The world will know because they already know and you're going to get some followers. Both you guys, and Shane, add to that. And also, I'm curious, is the baseball on TV there? And also a little bit about the structure of the league, because there's less games this year, I believe, than the regular season. But how it's set up, the league standings and the areas where the clubs are from and a little bit about the background.
Yeah, okay. This season, because of COVID, and I think Adam would tell you that the schedule, like all schedules, has changed a fair few times. We think it'll be a December start. With COVID restrictions and having New Zealand and a Korean team in the competition, travel overseas is a little bit harder. So it looks like there'll be a hub over in New Zealand with two of the teams there. We've changed our division up a little bit because Brisbane has transferred and Geelong to the other league. But at this stage, it looks like it'll be a slightly shortened season. You can just feel like it gets stronger every year. The quality of player is increasing. The quality of Australians is increasing. We're getting more and more kids coming back from college that have signed, or if they haven't signed, they are now complete baseballers that just didn't quite sign. And people talk about the standard being double A or high A or whatever, and you go, well, if you look at the top end, we've got, you know, we have got had your Delmon Youngs and your Deedes and all of those sort of guys out here. And then if you look at the bottom two or three, there might be returning college ball players who have finished their years or about to go to college. And those guys on their day are competing at that level and competing well. So we have a very big range of player. But it's just like, I guess, the Atlantic League and American Association, you would probably be familiar that it just seems it's similar. You get your good quality players there some of them are still chasing a dream, and some of them are on their way to realising a dream and getting re-signed and walking straight back into AAA, re-establishing themselves and big leagues. So, yeah, look, it's a varied comp, and it's the standard is increasing forever. It's just getting our foot in. There is no TV rights at the moment. They are working on them. We just aren't quite a big enough sport. We stream, all games are streamed, and the quality of the streaming from especially the main broadcast is very, very good each year. Adam could probably add more to the streaming side, I think.
Adam?
Yeah, thank you. Streaming was always going to be, the league was going to manage that. Difficult in Australia to get any corporate dollars around the streaming because we compete against some of our major sports. Where I've been lucky this year is the division that Shane used as a reference before over in the New Zealand hub, the two streaming broadcast partners that are of interest to our league are very interested in that hub over in New Zealand. A, because New Zealand's there, they're offshore, and B, because Geelong Korea are there and the Asian market is now in that hub.
Mm-hmm.
One is it's allowed our division to go and source our own broadcast streaming partners on our own. And of any year for me to go and source our own broadcast streaming partner in a many year is huge for us.
Mm.
So I'm just putting together a document this week, which we will then send to the market. We are actively looking for an international broadcast partner to take all of Manny's games to the world, including documentaries, Manny being Manny Down Under. All of these ideas we've got, we are actively looking for a broadcast partner internationally.
Oh, yeah, and I could see that documentary, Follow Manny, throughout the whole season. That will be... I mean, that would get millions of people watching that. And the other thing is, like you said, with the COVID, there may be more people even streaming because obviously you've got to limit people going. Here's the big question. This will be interesting. Both you guys have been watching MLB for a while now. You know, MLB's had to make some changes, some rule changes. And I think they're interesting ones, good ones. Some have worked really well. What rule changes are you guys implementing whether it's a speed up rule or double headers just in case it rains, you know, all that stuff. What are you guys implementing?
I'll go first and then Shane can add whatever I miss or his ideas. The New Zealand Hub Conference is running 7 innings games. The international speed up rule that I understand the MLB's introduced this year for extra innings will still be in place again. Our division conference in Australia is still a traditional home and away model with 9 innings games, but each individual team has the ability to run double headers if they wanted to minimize the weekend or to create more atmosphere exposure on that one day, value for money, because one ticket gets you into both games. It's not like we bump out in between games. So the answer to that question is that in our conference, there is no real speed up rule, but the flexibility to have certain days played and then double headers is in the hands of individual clubs.
Excellent. Shane, what do you think? What do you got going on as far as any other changes? I know the man on second rule is working real well in the major leagues. You know, we also have, you know, relief pitchers that you have to face three batters, obviously, you know, those type of rules. What do you think about those two rules? I mean, even though you guys may not be implementing them, it'd be interesting to get your take on what you think about those.
We already had the runner on set, the international rule previously. And I think we are bringing in the three outs. Personally, look, I'm a lover of the game. I guess if that gets crowds, I see other ways to speed up games. To be blunt, I think you'd be better just tossing a coin after 9 innings instead of putting runners on second. And I just love the history of the game. And that's my personal view. And probably similarly, you know, I know lefty pitchers have had the world at their feet and they've been cheating for a lot of years and they have their fun. But now we're trying to get rid of a left-handed relief pitcher, in my opinion. I probably had no problem with throwing the three hitters before the sixth or something like that. That if you come on before the sixth, you have to. But the seventh, eighth and ninth, I think it's to... It's what creates the theatre of baseball and what we love. And that theatre, and if we do have a little bit of extra time, you know, getting through six as quick as you can or seven as quick as you can. But those last two or three innings, I think that's what we love about the sport. And I think that's the theatre and slowing it down there and because of tactics and that, I just love it. And... I can't come to it. It's not. I'm not a fan at all.
That's understandable. No problem. That's what I love about this. You know, everybody's got opinions, and you know, not everybody's going to agree on everything. And the game's a great game. And, you know, there are some changes here at Major League Baseball. Some have gone well. Like I said, some have not. Adam, you got two teams. You got the Korean team and New Zealand. That's pretty exciting. How does that work? You say international and the standings. Explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, so there's 8 teams in the league, 2 conferences of 4 each. At the end of the regular season, first will play second in each conference. Mm. The winner, it's a bit like American League, National League.
Okay.
The winner of those two will go off to play for the championship series.
DH?
DH ruling both.
Both have DH. Yep. And also, Shane, it'd be interesting, you know, you've heard it, 60 games in the big leagues, that thing just hits you fast. You don't have time to experiment with certain guys or certain things. I mean, the season's going to be fast, right on you, and the playoffs going to be there before you even start. How are you going to – what changes are you making, I guess, in your preparation for the season? Because you may have to deal with it a little bit different. You know, you just can't get guys in there just to get them in there sometimes.
Yeah, look, that's correct. Well, we played 40 games. So, you know, our normal season is we had 2 divisions previously. You'd play a 4-game series at home and a 4-game series away with your own division. That made 6 rounds. And then you'd play the other division once, either home or away. So it was only 40 games, and that got up on you very, quick. Very quick. Yeah, look. The thing with these sort of divisions is, and I think everyone's learning is the Sunday game. The Sunday game, game four. If you win the majority of those games, it is huge. And that would have been previously, we've wrapped up the series 3-0, or we can't lose the series because it's 2-1. That Sunday was the opportunity to get some other players some extra time there, and that's just not going to happen this year. You're going to have your foot on the pedal every inch of the way.
Shane, for our coaches and players and even parents out there that are coaching, this would be an interesting question. Love to get your take on this. Manny Ramirez obviously plays with passion. But let's just use the example just to say, because I don't think it's going to happen, but let's just use the example. He hits a ball, doesn't hustle it out. How does Shane Barkley deal with that? And then Manny or anybody else, because I think it's a good educational piece to understand how coaches can deal with that, because even youth coaches are going to deal with that at times. A kid doesn't hustle. How would you deal with that situation? A lot more pressure.
Yeah, look, I come back to the Manny pressure thing. This is a huge question. And it's a real big question. And I guess I won't be able to answer the Manny question until we get out here and we sit down and we set some rules and discuss it, because this guy is one of the greats of all time, and he's 48 years of age. So we have expectations there. And it shouldn't be a rule for one, and it shouldn't be a rule for others. Any other player on the planet, maybe last year I might have been a little bit relaxed once or twice. I won't accept that anymore. I'm getting too old to accept that sort of stuff. In saying that, we'll see. I think the way you coach and the expectations of you have of your team, when you set those parameters down at the start, you don't have those problems. So I'm not expecting any of those problems. So again, when we sit down and talk to Manny, when he gets here and go through it, there's expectations of a 48-year-old legend of the game with tired legs. We've got to be realistic there.
Yeah, and as Adam said, he's got a major reputation in the game and life in general. He's going to do everything first class, I believe. You know, as long as it doesn't become Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson, you know, we avoid that part. That's be the safest thing. But listen, guys, the ABL, obviously, you can say anything you like about the ABL that we may have missed. What I'm interested in also, I think it's interesting because, you know, you heard me talk about the Australian baseball in general, the federation, the foundation of the sport, amateur sports, you know, the coaching programs. I mean, if you don't have those things, you don't have possibly the ABL, you don't have possibly a national team program at the level you guys are at right now. So maybe Adam, start it with you. Tell us a little bit about that foundation.
Yeah, look, there's still a development of our game. I think we all work on it from grassroots daily. We probably still haven't that bit right in this country, but we need to also, for those that don't understand our landscape here, baseball lovers need to understand that Australia currently ranks, I think it's 6th or 7th in the world in baseball, yet we're so unknown and we're such a small population, and our junior programs do quite successful in World Cups, and our senior team, you know, holds their own on the world stage. We've got, you know, Liam Hendricks at the moment pitching for Oakland, and there's a whole heap of names that have come out of here that have done very successful in the league, in MLB. Look, what we've got here is a beautiful country, very safe. Food quality is on as high as anywhere I've been around the world. Friendly people, and we play baseball. I mean, it's still an untapped market for worldwide baseballers. It's the advantage for us is we play in our summer, which is your winter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are starved for baseball in the winter months, and we've got that. So I think we don't need to compete with American baseball. We actually complement it at a separate time of year.
Well said. And matter of fact, if you think about it, you know, during the COVID, look at the attention that the Taiwan League and the Korean Baseball League got. You know, and I was very lucky, Shane, 20 years now into the World Baseball Softball Confederation's technical committee. So I've seen all your clubs at all levels, all the different ages, especially the national teams. And again, Adam hit it right. It's just outstanding. Now, as far as the leagues that, you know, because you have to filter players up into the leagues, what do you see in the athletes there? You know, their backgrounds as far as why they're such good baseball players, you know, whether it be a mental thing, whether it be they play other sports. Why do you have so many good players that come out of there? And I know cricket, I don't know if these young kids play cricket early on. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming that would help.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things you alluded to earlier about our coaching, and you said you've seen some good coaches out here. I think Australia's brought good coaching out here for an extended period of time. I think when I first came up, you know, everyone was talking about George Brett. Well, Charlie Lau was the man there. You would have managed against Mike Young, I'm guessing, in 99. Mike's
a Chicago guy, by the way.
Yeah,
okay. Chicago guy, so that's where I'm at. I've known Michael a long time.
Yeah, well, Michael, you know, has his way of doing things, but when you get on a field, you know, there's a guy when I went on a national thing, a team with, and you're just seeing that he was the first guy that, you know, was that was sitting beside going, you know, he's thinking about the seventh and we're in the fourth. And so we've had great and good coaching, and Americans have said we've overcoached at different times and we're too technical. And that America, you know, you've got, the difference is, I guess, is you've got, it's your national pastime. So you just get a pot of players and you throw them in and you give them some coaching, but the cream rises to the top. In Australia, we have a tiny, tiny pool. So we've had guys and we've had good structured coaching programs of juniors all the way through. And we've used good resources, I think, from the 90s, you know, the 80s, when I first started playing in the, you know, in the late 70s, Australia seemed to always have that and be smart that way. Yeah, we've got some faults. Everyone's got some faults, but I think we've maximized and it's shown it by the number of kids we've got in college, for the amount of players that we have, the number of kids that have got to college and pro ball is we're probably punching above our weight as far as how many actual participants we do have.
Absolutely, a lot of college players. And let me tell you, the young people I've run into on Australian baseball teams always, always have been professional. The young kids, respectful, saying hello. They just, you know, and I know not everybody's perfect, but they look like they've got great character, have had great coaching, great parenting. I think that's a big plus. Hey, Adam, what about your, as far as the league's concerned, what have we missed about the league that you wanted to talk about, let our audience know in the U.S. and around the world?
The league.
Or the team.
Yeah, look, I think we've covered a lot. I mean, we geographically cover, if not the major states in Australia, all the states in Australia. You've got ownership groups that are very passionate to drive competitive baseball in this country, so they're actively looking for international players to complement. We're starting to get a lot more media attention in this country. And yeah, look, I think that the structure is good. We play all of our professional baseball here in summer, which again, we touched on before, is mm-hmm. your week. So there's a really good alignment there. Look, I think we're making some inroads into the US market. But still got a long way to go. So we're active on social media. Everyone's looking to stream their games. But yeah, look, I think we've covered a lot of it. The direction from Baseball Australia into the league, they're trying to push us and challenge us weekly. Yeah, we're not doing this for practice. We're really trying to change the game in this country, yeah.
Well, you guys both know this is great. You guys have been great. I know you got a job to do. It's early in the morning there. I'm heading to sleep soon. So I like to finish it this way. See what you think. You follow Major League Baseball. I think, Adam, you said you're a Boston fan. But I gave a prediction today. Nobody else did. I gave a prediction in MLB. Who's going to win the World Series and who they're going to play against? Are you willing to do that on the show? I just threw it at you.
Yeah, look, that's okay. Yeah, yeah, I do follow it. My first comment is, as long as it's not the Yankees.
Yeah. And they're not doing so well right now.
Nah. So I'm going to go Atlanta-Tampa World Series.
Wow, awesome, awesome. And love those two teams. Tampa, you could talk a whole show about them. How, matter of fact, from an ownership standpoint, you know, my biggest thing I always said was, okay, hang on. I love, you know, and I've got friends that are in the organizations, but the Dodgers spend a lot of money. The Yankees spend a lot of money. You know, if I'm those owners, I'm saying, excuse me, I'm spending $90 million and I'm going to the playoffs every year. Maybe I could add another $50 million and win the World Series. I don't have to spend, you know, $300 or $200. What are they doing that other teams aren't doing? I think Tampa's an interesting team to research, the whole organization. But that's not what we're going to talk about. I just wanted to mention that. Shane, what do you think?
Well, look, my heart, my head probably says I think it'll be maybe Dodgers, Minnesota. Yeah, I'll go Dodgers, Minnesota.
He's taking the extra, the Dodgers, you know, because they got the most wins right now. That's the easy pick, right?
Yeah, yeah. look, it can't happen. We can't have Minnesota and Oakland, but that's putting an Australian cap on and hoping for two Australians to be fighting it out. I'd love to see Oakland. I would really love to see Oakland get there.
Another unbelievable organization, what they spend and what they accomplish. I mean, both of those, Tampa and Oakland, my top two. I didn't pick them. I picked Tampa as a finalist, but I picked I almost forgot what I picked. I picked the Padres to win it all. I love their addition of what they added to the club. I wouldn't have picked them initially, but when they added some of those players, I think they added some great players. As long as, hey, we all know it's all about staying healthy. Hopefully the coronavirus stays away, because anything could change when it comes to that. Guys, I can't ask you enough. Adam, I have to apologize. That question should have gone to Shane first and then the owner second, giving you a little bit more time.
Okay. I agree what you said, Pete.
Go ahead.
The reason I wanted to think about it is – anyone that follows baseball knows that the Dodgers is the greatest lineup from 1 to 45 that's in the game right now.
Unbelievable.
I'm just coming up with a long shot for a bit of excitement, because if we play tomorrow, it's, you know, Dodgers win it in four or five games. I get that. I'll stick with Atlanta into Tampa for a bit of fun.
All right, guys.
The Red Sox won't be there, mate.
Yeah, last-minute comments by both of you guys, man. I appreciate it.
Pete, I've only had one punt. We're allowed to bet on American baseball, and I like to have an interest. And it's your town. It's actually backed. What are they? Five-three down at the moment. So yes. We need to get them through.
Yeah, and David Ross, I didn't teach him anything. He just happened to be on Team USA when I was there. As a 15, 16-year-old, a tremendous individual, great person. No doubt, at least I said it publicly early, not after the fact. I said he will be very successful right at the start, only because I knew him, I understood. But I think other experts, I'm not an expert, but other people would have agreed from the standpoint, if they knew him, what they were questioning, he didn't have any experience. Well, but as we know, he really did. And you know, I root for the Cubs. White Sox, another club that has definitely a possibility to end up there. Adam, any last-minute things, and then we'll close it off.
I'm just really appreciative that the world is interested in Australian baseball right now. That's what I set out to do 3 years ago, and all the hard work appears to be paying off. So, mate, I appreciate the reach out, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. And Shane, thanks for being on, man.
No, really, really appreciate it. And I think your comment on Ross is correct, and as you know, it's as much about managing people when you manage a team. And even in broadcast, you could tell he was a quality human.
Absolutely. Guys, this has been fantastic. Can't thank you enough. And first of all, Adam, just so you know, if you go back 3 years of my shows, but even further with the WBSC, IBAF, you know, I've loved Australian baseball. I told you why, because one of the best coaching programs at the youth levels, as far as the development of the coaches, in the world. I've seen Cuba, I've seen Australia's, I've Canada's, I've experienced a lot of countries, over 45. So, you know, when I got the chance to get you guys on and talk about Manny, also because I love Australian baseball. So keep up the great work, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for your time, Pete.
All right. Shane Barclay, Rob Dobb. Listen, guys, thank you again. Thank you to everybody in the U.S. and around the world for joining us. Special thanks to Brian Crock, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. And, of course, please subscribe. Peter Caliendo on YouTube, 90 shows. Just hit that button. We love that you can do that. And also share the show if you liked it. Fantastic show this evening. Thanks, everybody, and God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll see you this week's show. Bye-bye.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.